When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh, hey there, boys and girls. Welcome to Only Stupid Answers, the best damn podcast you can put your ears in to. This is Sam and DJ here.
Hello.
A very special guest.
Hey, who's our guest?
It's Mr. Tom Merritt. How are you doing?
Oh, hi.
Hello.
Hey.
How did I get here?
Thank you for joining
you broke.
Us.
That was awesome.
You come on to a very special episode of Only Stupid Answers. It's our 99 episode.
In honor of Maxwell Smart.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. 99. Thank
yep.
you.
Mm-hmm. Thank
I appreciate
you.
That. No, Deep thanks
cut.
For having me, guys.
Of course.
It's going to be fun.
It's going to be a fun one, and we're going to be talking about artificial intelligence today.
Yes. Right? This is something I've been wanting to talk about for a minute, just because mm-hmm. I find it interesting.
You keep writing it over and over again in this notebook that you have. Yeah. I'm like, I always try to take it away from you, but you get really
I get really angry about
testy.
It.
Yeah, yeah. You get a little
so
testy.
So for people that, this is your first time tuning in this podcast, we like to talk about movies.
TV shows.
Comics.
Supernatural.
AI
is one.
Yeah,
so we want to do
like
a dream episode one day and talk
That'll
about
be fun.
That. And that all the science of dreams.
So before we get into any further in our stuff, Tom, who are you? Tell the kids at home.
I am a podcaster.
Nice.
Do you guys know about podcasts?
A little bit.
We've dabbled.
Yeah. I've been podcasting since 2005.
Jeez.
I do the Daily Tech News Show, mm-hmm. which is daily show about tech news.
Interesting.
Yeah. We workshop that name uh-huh. a lot.
Yeah.
I like where you landed with it.
thank you. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. Daily Tech News Show and Daily Tech Headlines are kind of the big twin podcasts that I do.
Yeah.
But I also do a bunch of other weeklies, like Current Geek, which just talks about TV shows and movies.
Hey! Then we have a few common things to talk about today.
Cord Killers, which is about cord cutting, like
nice.
The way you actually are able to watch the TV shows and movies,
yep.
and Sword and Laser, which is science fiction and fantasy books.
Oh yeah, that sounds like a ton of fun. Mm-hmm. So you can just type all those into the iTunes or the Googler, and they'll pop.
Yeah,
right up.
Yeah. Cool. TomMerritt.com also works.
Perfect.
That has everything put together.
Yeah. Nice. And if you want more of our stuff,
you can go to OnlyStupidAnswers.com. You said Googler, and I'm so surprised that Google's never tried to make a little robot that they could take home with you. It's the Googler.
Yeah. Or like they
was Google Home instead of the Googler.
Or, yeah, missed opportunity, but they probably still have a copyright
now,
for
see,
it.
My wife worked for Google for a while.
Ooh.
And they did call them Nooglers.
The
first
people that worked.
I think they overthought that.
Yeah.
It was like just the Googlers is fine. Or I guess the Nooglers and then the Googler.
Yeah. And they gave them a little hat with a spinny thing on top.
That's
wow.
pretty good hazing.
Yeah.
But like you said, onlystupidanswers.com. Yes. That's where you can find all the info for our Patreon, which if you're watching live with us, thank you. Love you. Also, all of our, you can listen to our episodes there, all of our social media, like Twitter at onlystupidanswers.
You can have the vowels from stupid.
There we go. And most importantly, we have an event when this comes up tomorrow, there's going to be an event for our 100th episode at the Open Space Cafe on Fairfax in LA. So there's probably one ticket left if you really have been waiting down to the last second, just seeing the interest level.
Yeah.
Everyone's coming out for this,
mm-hmm.
dressed to the nines.
Yeah, and we've got. Some
I bought
special
a new button up, so
there
it's
it
going to be very special.
We got some special guests. We got our buddies from Dynamic Banter, Mike Falzone and Steve Zaragoza.
Yes, and Maude Garrett. We're going to do a little Smodcast, which will be fun.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
There's going to be exclusive merch that you can get. There's going to be special guests, which is going to be a lot of fun. But also Patreon people. Keep an eye out because there's going to be a way for you to watch live if you're a part of a specific tier. There'll be a big post about it. There'll be a master post about it on Patreon.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can't make it and you guys have been thinking about joining the Patreon, you can go to patreon.com/onlystupidanswers and watch live from the event. And there'll be a VOD as well if you can't join us. So that'll be a lot of fun. But also worth mentioning that the audio of that podcast will be the 100th episode.
There it is.
There's all the business.
Of the main part. Of
the main
part. Yeah. So we also like to, we love it when you go onto iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of going to onlystupidanswers.com and finding where you can listen, we love it when you go onto iTunes and leave us those 5-star reviews. We also post our episodes on Patreon,
mm-hmm.
And you can leave comments there. In fact, we have a comment. Sam, mm-hmm. if you want to read the comment we got on our last episode.
I believe it's from our friend. We did a review of that's what we do. A review of Avengers Infinity War.
Shocking.
And Mr. Greg Miller from Kinda Funny commented, "Thanks for having me on, guys. This is great." And then he's mad about your rating for that movie.
Yeah, see, I gave it a C+. I gave it a C+. I did see it again. And I enjoyed it more, and I'd bump it up to a B-.
Okay.
Yeah. I thought you were going to be like, it was like a 78, now it's like 79.
B-. It's like, but I did enjoy it more. We also have a 5-star rating on iTunes from KimraJ3, I think is how that's supposed to be pronounced. First-time listener. Listened to you guys for the first time yesterday, and I'd say I'm hooked. Love the banter and topics you guys cover, so just keep doing what you're doing because I'm a fan.
That was very sweet.
You can leave those every 6 months, so if it's been a while, leave another one.
Hey!
That's something I didn't know.
That's insider knowledge. Yeah. Guys, you listening?
Yeah, so if you left one 2 years ago, and you're like, I wish I could leave another one. Yeah.
Hey, if you're driving to work right now, you can go ahead and pull over real quick and go ahead and put in park, turn off the car, be safe, write a quick review, 5 stars. We love when you do that. Just saying.
Yeah.
It's clearly you're stopping your commute to do this for us, but it's so easy. You can do it.
It'll take just a few seconds. It's so much more fun
than being in traffic.
I know, right? Exactly. Just get to sprint some positive. We can go on this for a long time. We can do a whole episode on how you guys can write 5-star reviews in different areas doing different activities. But let's open up with one of our favorite segments.
There it is. Thank you.
Of the show, of what we're into this week. But first, let's say hi to our friends over at Beachbody.
Hey! All right, before we go any further talking about robots and AI and all that stuff, let's talk about making ourselves better, improving our bodies.
Beachbody On Demand.
Beachbody On Demand.
What?
So Beachbody On Demand is an easy-to-use streaming service that gives you instant access to a wide variety of super effective workouts you can do from the comfort of your living room 24/7.
That means all the time, boys and girls.
It has a history of success, and it is the company behind P90X, Insanity, 21 Day Fix, T25, Brazil Butt Lift, Hip Hop Abs, 3-Week Yoga Retreat, and more. My personal favorite is Shift Shop. That's the one I do every week because it helps me with lifting, get my arms a little bit bigger.
Guess who's graduated from 3-Day Yoga Retreat to 3-Week Yoga Retreat?
Is it this boy sitting right across from me?
I'm trying so hard. My muscles, they were so strong at one point. They're so weak, but I'm going to get strong for you. Not DJ, the listener. I'm getting strong for you.
For you guys at home. In fact, you guys should do this with us. You can hit us up on Twitter and let us know if you are doing Beachbody, and we can do it together.
Yeah, the workouts are as short as 10 minutes and don't require any extra equipment. So you guys can definitely do those along with me.
It has some of the best trainers and some of the best programs, like I mentioned before, and you can access it anywhere and anytime. You can view it on your computer, web-enabled TV, tablet, smartphone, Roku, any and all of those options. It has the biggest support community. You will be joining over 1 million people currently on Beachbody On Demand. Sam and I are two of those people.
Mm-hmm. And our listeners can try Beachbody On Demand absolutely free. That's right. I really want you to try this service because it's shown results. DJ, you can attest to these.
Yes.
You're seeing results with yourself. I'm ready to get those results too, and I want you guys to be a part of this journey. So right now, our listeners can get a special free trial membership. That's right, free trial membership. When you text STUPID, that's STUPID, to 303030, that's 303030, you'll get full access to the entire platform for free, all the workouts, the nutrition information, and support totally free. Again, just text STUPID to 303030, that's 303030.
Now back to the show.
All right, so what are we into this week? To make it easy for Tom so you can think about what you're into, DJ.
Well, a couple things. First off, I would like to take this moment to tell you I'm still into ChaosTheoryComic.com. That is the Kickstarter for my new comic, Volume 2 of Chaos Theory, Zombies versus Dinosaurs. Volume 1 was a big success, so this one's even bigger and more epic and more and just more. You got zombies, you got dinosaurs, you got aliens, and even more craziness. First week was super solid, but we still have a long way to go. So if you guys could go to ChaosTheoryComic.com and go and support that project, it's only going to happen with your guys' support. And I know the people that read Volume 1 really dug it. And so if you're new to it and you're like, can I start with Volume 2? There are tiers where you can also pick up Volume 1 as well and get the complete story. But we've got prints from amazing artists like Derek Robertson, who co-created Happy and the Boys, Brittany Williams, who worked on Patsy Walker, a.k.a. Hellcat, and Goldie Vance. And so there's just a ton of cool, amazing stuff for you guys to check out there. You can go on Kickstarter, type in Chaos Theory, or go to ChaosTheoryComic.com and check that out.
Nice. You got the elevator pitch for that.
Yeah,
down.
I'm trying, man. And as far as just stuff I've watched, I just actually you did too, watched Friday's episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you want to talk about it?
Well, yeah, I was going to bring that up because they try to engage with Infinity War.
They do.
And they shouldn't have. They should have just, I think they could have just ignored it. Because who knows what's going to... If you've seen Infinity War.
Yeah, I have. I was almost about to make a spoiler comment.
Well, I'm wondering, that. It's been a week.
It's been a week. I think we can just... Light spoilers.
Let's
skip ahead 30 seconds.
Yeah, uh-huh. So you skip ahead 30 seconds. Or I will say that there's a massive event that happens at the end of Infinity War that theoretically should affect not just everybody on the planet, but everybody in the universe. But there is plenty of opportunity for that to be reversed later. So I think if you're working on the TV shows, you could have just pretend it didn't happen. And especially
lucky
with
us.
Yeah, pretend like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you could just said like, oh, the events of this season take place before.
Spoilers. Wait, not spoilers. Yeah. Or no, bummer. Yeah. I want it to all be included forever and ever. I want them
because,
to
like, when,
always be interconnected.
Like when you read comics or whatever, it's like half the universe got sucked into the dark matter realm or whatever. It's like, well... Other comics don't. Green Arrow is not engaging with it that month. Right. You know what I mean? Like, you can just skip right over. And it's been interesting watching. I don't know if we've talked about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. this season on the main show. We talk about it every week on our Patreon show, Super TV Showdown. Mm. But the first half of the season was really rad. They were in the future, and now they've come back to the past. And slowly but surely, they've made every character kind of a dick.
They make a lot of questionable decisions.
So far, which makes sense with what they've seen. They've seen the world be destroyed, un-Thanos related. Mm. And so they're making their decisions off that. But it's tough because it feels like it's the last season. And so it feels like this weird, like, hey, we're going to make all our characters as unlikable as possible for the last like few episodes. We're only two episodes left after this.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
It's such a weird little pocket dimension of a show.
I have questions.
Yeah.
So... If you only have two more episodes left of the show,
yeah,
and you had the trope of going into the future, why do you come back before Infinity War?
I don't have to deal with that. Well, here's the thing: I don't.
You had the perfect out.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Their future was even worse.
Yeah, so I get that.
They're trying to fix. I don't know.
Well, no, but from a storytelling perspective, yeah. I get what you're saying. It's interesting. I very much watching this episode because we set up the comic book film. I was going to say classic. Just the comic book villain Graviton all the way back in season one, and now they're finally paying and introducing him, mm-hmm. a version of him, and he runs into a group of aliens and they're like, we're here because Thanos is showing up. And I very much get the impression that the creators of the show had zero idea how Infinity War would end, mostly because I don't think anybody but the writers and the directors knew how Infinity War was going to end.
That makes sense.
They wouldn't share that with those people.
Yeah. So it's just like, cool, we know Thanos is showing up. It'll be fine. and I think you're right, because I was thinking they go up into space for a part of this episode, and it's like, well, maybe. And then I realized, like, no, the whole universe. There's literally no point other than being in the future.
Yeah.
That you could have avoided.
Stay in the future till the finale episode, then come back right before Infinity War.
Yeah.
Even though that episode airs after Infinity
or
War.
Or don't acknowledge it and assume that Avengers 4 might rewrite it.
Yeah,
or pretend that your show took place before Infinity War. Just don't acknowledge it. Just because they didn't bother acknowledging Doctor Strange. They just had stuff that like thematically felt similar with Ghost Rider and the mystical and all that stuff. And it's like, just do.
Same with Ant-Man. They were just like Pym particles. They said it in one line. It was like, yep, that movie happened. Cool. Yeah. All right, we're moving on.
Yeah, and thematically, there's enough connective tissue because you're dealing with the world ending, you're dealing with aliens, you're dealing with apocalyptic stuff. Like, you had enough. It felt similar enough that I feel like you could have just...
Let's see what they do. They got two more episodes.
They got two more episodes, but I would be shocked if the reality-altering event at the end of that movie affects... this, because I just don't know how you'd incorporate
it. It's going to be really cool when they have a re-edit of Infinity War in the finale of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. where Graviton, right before Thanos does whatever he does, he's like, no. And it's like, oh, thank God. Everything's fine.
Do you think Graviton is powerful enough that he would have been able to help that situation?
No. No.
No.
No. He'd help more than Spider-Man would have.
True. Yeah. True. So I wanted to touch on that because I know a lot of people have been talking about how Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. ties in there. And it's interesting. Luke Cage, it shouldn't tie in. Just do your season of Luke Cage. It's fine.
Yeah, I feel like what Netflix has done, the Netflix versions of the Marvel series have been smart by saying like, oh, we'll acknowledge that things happen, but we won't be specific and we just won't bother.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's not like concurrent. It's just like it's how normal life events work. We're not going to be constantly talking about everything that's happened except for social media. We do that now.
Yeah. So Netflix stays off Twitter. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. doesn't.
There you go.
That's the trick. That's
the only reason they've lasted this long. Yeah. Is because of that Twitter fan base. You bring up good points, but we'll see. Yeah. I like my edit of Graviton showing up at the very end. Yeah. And it's like, oh, we're in a different time.
That will be
now.
Cool. More importantly, I've grown to really like these characters over specifically the past two seasons. I would like to like them again before the show ends.
Too late. They've already annihilated all of them.
Yeah.
But Tom, your turn. What are you into this week?
Death.
Nice.
Oh. In Paradise.
Oh, okay.
It's a show out of the BBC.
Nice.
And the way I got to it was, did you ever watch Father Ted?
No.
It's a 90s comedy. Same guy who did the IT Crowd.
Oh,
did
cool,
Father
cool,
Ted
cool, cool.
Before.
Nice.
So I watched all of Father Ted, and one of the characters in that, I was like, what is that guy doing now? So I, you know, went down the IMDb rabbit hole and I found out that sixth season of something called Death in Paradise, he showed up and became a regular. So I watched that episode because I'm like, I don't really know this show or care.
Mm.
And I just liked the episode. He wasn't in it until towards the end. I'm like, this is really interesting. So I went back and started watching it from the beginning. It is embarrassing to admit because it is a formulaic locked room mystery show. Like every
For six seasons.
Every episode is there's been a murder. It couldn't be possibly have done. Oh, wait, a second murder of the suspect we thought had committed it. Mm-hmm. Now what do we do? Oh, wait, I've had a brilliant idea. Gather everyone together and I will reveal the murderer. That is
nice.
Literally every episode. But they're good mysteries. They mostly keep me guessing. And they shot it in the Caribbean.
Nice.
So they have like actual local actors in it. They have one like British star. Chris Marshall is the second detective. First detective leaves after the first two seasons, but Chris Marshall, who is in Love Actually,
okay,
as the young kid who's like trying to score with the Americans.
Yeah.
He's the detective through the bulk of the series. He got replaced by the guy from Father Ted.
Okay,
actually, but anyway, it's that person and a crew of locals, and they all go to the local bar and hang out and discuss the case.
Cool.
And it's just pretty to look at. The actors are different. It's not your normal, you know, like, oh, here we go, another parade of British actors.
Yeah.
And it's I find it addictive. I can't
that's
help
awesome.
Myself. It's
that's
cotton
amazing.
Candy.
I got into Primeval because I love my sci-fi, and that was an ITV show, not a BBC show. But because it's been off the air for so long, and I think one of Canada's stations tried to pick it up and make a Canadian version of it with like a wink and a nod to that the other show happened with
okay.
one of the characters coming over, but it was like third tier down.
BBC
character.
America tried to pick that up and then it didn't work there. And
it was super weird, and like that was my first instance of like how quickly actors like main leads in shows get swapped out,
recycled
constantly.
Yeah.
Like there was one main guy who was like the main actor. They got three seasons, which is like nine episodes, and like then he was already swapped out, and I was like, but these aren't even like movies, like I don't even, the story's not done, but the show just keeps plowing ahead. It was so that was the show had its flaws, but
there was a Robin
it
Hood
had pretty British people in it. Yeah. So
there was a Robin Hood BBC show that kind of set up like Robin Hood's long lost brother to like maybe we could continue the show with this guy even though the main actor wants to leave or whatever, and it didn't. They just ended it like three seasons in. They're like, never mind, it's done.
Well, what they did with this, the guy who started was a comedian. His name escapes me. His character name was Poole. He got tired of having to go to the Caribbean to shoot.
Because he's Caribbean's like,
it sounds crazy, right? But like after you've spent half a year every year, like I have to live in the Caribbean.
Yeah.
I can't take any other jobs because I'm down there. He's like, yeah, I can't do this. So they announced that he was being replaced. And at the beginning of season three, they open with the old open and him as the detective. So you're like, well, wait a minute. I know he gets replaced. What happens? And that's the thing that keeps me coming back to the show is that they play around with this stuff. And when they bring Chris Marshall
in. Was he the mystery
in,
that episode?
He was.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
And so when Chris Marshall comes in, they're like, well, we'll gather all the people together. And he's like, why? And they're like, no, but that's what Poole always did. We gathered together and we announced the killer. And he's like, well, that sounds really dumb. Like they kind of have a little bit of self-awareness about
that's
it.
That's cool. What was the show's name again?
It's called Death in Paradise.
And can you only watch it on BBC or is it like on Netflix?
It's on Netflix.
Nice.
Here in the US.
I'll check it out. Yeah. I'll check it out. That's rad. That's really cool. Oh, the BBC, cool. They know what they're doing over there.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just remember.
Not having to make money all the time. Mm-hmm. Freeze them.
Yeah.
Although we'll see how long that lasts.
Exactly.
Well, if I may.
Yes.
I definitely had a show in mind that totally escaped me, but I will pull up my list of podcasts because I did want to. I mentioned it before, but I just re-listened to it again because I rediscovered my love of space exploration. And Tom, have you heard of the podcast The Habitat? It got a lot of press.
I don't think so.
Like a few weeks ago, but I just re-listened to it again, and I want to push it again because I know there are space nerds, there's NASA nerds in the listens. Mm-hmm. The premise is it's a documentation of the high seas experiment, which is the isolation experiment that NASA's running to see if six people can live in a small habitat for 1 year by themselves. And like the only way they can go outside is in spacesuits, which they do that as part of the experiment. But can people just do it? Can people, because we've never done that before, that they can use the internet only in the capacity of sending an email, but there's 20-minute delays.
Okay.
And they can't send like big files. They can send the audio files of their recordings, and they can look at Wikipedia, but it's on 20-minute delays of when it's updated, and you can't get the entire website. You can only get like very specific things out of it because they're trying to make it as realistic as possible of what kind of internet you'd actually have, and they're trying to simulate it to the best of their ability of what Mars life would be like. And it's so interesting. It's only 7 episodes. They're about 30 minutes apiece, so it's really easy to just like kind of chew through. But it's beautiful because one of the coolest things they bring up about is like kind of the grosser parts of space travel, like in the original NASA missions, when it came to like doing a number two, if you had to, it wasn't like some kind of vacuum or a special bathroom you went into. It was one big room that you were all standing in, and you had to like use a plastic bag and go in that, but you're in zero G, so it would take you up to an hour to figure out how to do it right.
Oh, wow.
And NASA didn't really, they were like, this is the best we can do. Or like, hey, extended space travel, if you send men and women, or even just same-sex couples, like what happens? Does NASA have a plan for that? Nope. In their mind, they're like, nope.
That just won't happen.
No, nope. Yeah. They're like, and she, one of the journalists behind it, it was like, did you give them condoms? Because they're in a small enclosed space for an entire year and they can't see anybody else. So they're going to be talking to each other nonstop. And they're like,
just the zero G alone would require the condoms.
Yeah.
But like NASA's entire idea behind it is like, nope. Why would you do that? You're scientists. You're doing a job. It's like, yeah, you can think that, but there's people. And and also take out like even just like small missions if you're just up in the ISS. But if you're like in close quarters, because this is like they have to send a very compact unit for them to live in on Mars. They're going to be near each other a lot.
For a long time. We're not talking like a few days to the moon and back.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you can
long-term habitation.
And it's kind of cute because in the beginning of the podcast, everyone's like, we're going to be best friends by the end of this. And like, no, none of them want to be near each other at the end of it, which doesn't mean they're bad people. Yeah. They're just people. And like, as soon as one of the best elements of it is that people bring activities. They're like, my goal besides the experimentation is like, I'm going to teach myself French or I'm going to learn how to play the ukulele. One woman brings a didgeridoo and you're like, why would you do that?
She also microwaves fish, I bet.
Yeah, exactly.
She was the one who complained when they requested that they brought like Cheetos and like junk food on. It's like, why would you do that? Why wouldn't you have like healthy tofu banana shakes? It's like, because you're going crazy in there and you want some semblance of civilization.
Yeah.
Anyways, trust me, I haven't even like dip my whole foot into what that podcast is. You can go check it out, The Habitat, and it's so well put together. If you like the production value of like Serial and other like popular podcasts like that, that's the level you're getting when you listen to it, and it's nice and compact, so you can get through that.
Super cool.
Mm-hmm. It's very cool.
So for this episode, that's what we're into this week. You guys should check those things out. But for this episode, I thought it'd be fun to discuss artificial intelligence. Like for most people, I'm like myself, you're probably associated with it through stuff like Terminator. You know, we talked about Transcendence, touched on a little bit in Blade Runner, the second Blade Runner. And it's just something that interests me in the way people react to it. So I thought it'd be fun to discuss that. Do we have, before we dive into it, do we have just general opinions on it?
Well, before I think this is part of the internet that likes to be afraid of anything that's new. Yeah. And so I was like, you know, optimism, because I like to be the optimistic guy.
Yeah, you tend to be the optimistic one on our shows.
And I just spent literally only like a couple hours reading up on it. And the more I read, the more scared I got.
Uh-huh.
But also there's a lot of schools of thought, but which we'll get into that. But yeah. My opinion is that I'm not super excited about it, even though there are forms of AI that are used just on your phones,
yeah.
Which I've learned all the different types of AI now, which is very fun. But there are scary elements, and I believe that it don't stop using AI, but there should be definitely regulatory systems put in place, because AI can advance a lot faster than we can even comprehend.
Yeah.
And I think it would be silly to just not be cautious of it. Mm-hmm. There's my opinion.
Yeah.
Tom?
I love that the internet both says AI will kill us all.
Yeah.
Also, it's overhyped and stupid and will never work.
Yeah.
Right?
Which actually, based on like what I was reading, most of the scientific community when it comes to AI, it's split.
Yeah.
It's like they're like, no, we actually cannot ever achieve a machine that can think that way.
Yeah.
But then there's half that's like, yeah, you're actually naive to think that we would never get that far.
And the reality is AI, machine learning particularly, is something that works. It's not nearly as good as even the marketing says.
Yeah.
But, like you said, it can progress very fast in certain theoretical instances. And so the people who are saying we should be prepared, like Elon Musk and the late Stephen Hawking, were saying, look, yeah, it's not very good now, but it could get good really fast, and we don't know whether it will or how it will, but we need to be prepared for what we do when that happens, because we won't have a lot of time to think about it. So
yeah.
That's where I am, which is 99% chance you don't need to worry about it, other than like, wow, I wish my Amazon Echo would remember what I just said, right?
Yeah.
Like that's where we are with it. But there, we should have a plan for if we happen to just stumble across that cascade that causes it to take off, that we know how to limit it, we know what to do with it, because it's the unanticipated consequence that is dangerous.
Yeah.
And so all the people saying you don't need to worry about it are like, we anticipate it won't work that well. It's like, great, but things have happened before. Surprises, we've made leaps and advances before. So if we make one in this, let's think it through.
I think what you guys are saying make a lot of sense in the idea that like once it starts, you should be being, I'm always for being prepared. Be prepared. You know what I mean? I do think that it would be, I wonder, because we treat machines, at least in fiction, we treat machines as these magical things. Like, speaking of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., character just got robot arms, and they're immediately, every time somebody gets robot arms in the thing, they're immediately super strong and whatever. But it's like, there would be trade-offs. I wonder, we assume that this technology is
how does it not break their shoulders?
Shoulder or whatever, but also
yeah, it's basically
we assume
just stitched on
that, yeah. That we could make a super thing far beyond us. But what if, as we're discovering AI, we learn that there are natural limitations to intelligence? So essentially our greatest achievement is making an artificial human brain. It basically functions like a human brain and doesn't think super quick and amazing, because there are natural limitations to, once you get to the computing power, the amount of information our brain is able to process and think about. It has to be a certain texture, and it has to be in a liquid environment. And basically, essentially, we just make a brain.
It's interesting you bring that up, because what the what I've learned, and also here's the disclaimer.
Yeah.
I'm nowhere near ever going to be doing a TED talk on this. I just have just read up on what other people have done research on, and
yeah.
I'm going to regurgitate it to the best of my ability. Now, the fear, the main
as far
fear,
as Reddit's concerned, that makes you an expert.
Thank you. Thank you very
today
much. What I've learned is that there are the three different types of artificial intelligence,
yeah.
And what we basically have right now is they're called. This is why artificial intelligence is way better.
Yeah.
What we're demonstrating is an artificial
yeah.
form
it's
of intelligence.
ANI, AGI, and ASI. There we go. Because I was thinking of AFI the band, and I had a great joke earlier, and I totally just fucking nuked it. So ANI is what we have, and it's artificial narrow intelligence, and that's where what it was explained to me as is like how Google Maps finds you a way home. That
mm-hmm.
is the best way to get home, or how Siri talks to you.
Yeah.
That's what we are normally working with now. What we are not really close to, but would be the next step, is artificial general intelligence, and that's a human brain.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the problem is that we wouldn't probably build most likely based on how we're moving, build it like a human brain works. We build it in a way a computer works. And that and the thing there is, the scary part is based on the way that technology has improved vastly. Just think about 15 years ago and now, how far our jobs exist because of the way technology is exponentially improved.
Yeah.
So based on that, and like looking even 15 years before that, how things have improved vastly, if an artificial intelligence got to AGI, it could get to ASI in an insane speed, and that means it's a super intelligence, meaning that it would be smarter than the collective intelligence of all humans on the planet. That's what the fear is that, and it could, and the difference between, that's why I'm saying it probably wouldn't be based on our brain, it'd be based on a computer's brain, and a computer's brain by that point could rewrite itself to be more efficient and wouldn't need things that like would limit us.
Yeah, but I also don't know if it gets to the point that it's rewriting things that would necessarily, if it's that much more intelligent than us, I don't know if that necessarily means it's immediately a threat to us.
Well, that's the question, right?
It's perspective.
When it gets super intelligent, does it say, oh, they really don't matter?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? The way we are like, oh, you know, I don't want to kill ants, but they're getting in my house. So, you know, like that's the fear. I think a bigger fear is not of the super, like if the super intelligence is developed by us, it may improve like us. And if you look at humanity in the long term, we've gotten better over time. Maybe the super intelligence would actually be better. I think the bigger danger is the fact that all of these are being based on computer simulations. We don't really know how our intelligence works.
Yeah.
We're not creating intelligence the same way. We're trying to simulate it. I think that even at the generalized intelligence level, that's where suddenly an AI could go wrong, because it could be develop psychotic tendencies because it's not super intelligent and because it's not based on how we work.
Yeah.
And it just goes off, like you've heard the stories about Google Maps that send somebody off the end of a pier, and if they're not working, you know, watching, it's horrible. Like,
that's a big thing.
Imagine that becoming even worse.
Yeah, like a flaw or just a small flaw in the code could create a cascade, like you said, and totally corrupt this intelligence. And it could make decisions that were not beneficial to itself or anyone around it. So also a fear. And like, so even the idea of building a perfect intelligence is sci-fi, because that would require us to not make mistakes.
But that's the thing. It feels more likely to me, based on the way we interact with technology, that more likely a corruption or a flaw would just make it not work. would just make it completely inert, basically.
I think that's the danger, though, is like, okay, maybe it just doesn't work. That's probably more likely.
Yeah.
But what if it does work, just not very well?
Yeah.
And it's like, I was trained to identify dogs, therefore I'm eliminating anything that isn't a dog. And you're like, wait, hold on. Oh, wait, it's too powerful. We can't stop it.
Example I read, we watched like a little video before this, but it was regurgitating that like the example that someone came up with was a robot created by a company, and the point of this robot was to handwrite notes, because they knew that if they did like junk mail, people are going to read a handwritten note before they read a typed note. They'll probably throw that away. So they wanted this robot to have the perfect handwriting and actually figure out itself how to make itself more convincing. And from there, they gave it an AI, and they gave it more. They opened its parameters up a little bit, but it couldn't be connected to the internet. But by itself, it taught itself to expand its own intelligence and create more parameters of like, no, this is actually how to make it more believable. And it was correct because it had enough time, because it doesn't have any limitations like we do. It can keep advancing, and basically the way it moves from there is that this handwriting robot ends up taking over the entire planet. And I know that sounds like a huge leap, because all it's doing is it's one arm and it teaches itself to just write.
Yeah, but it ends up mobilizing nanites to poison every person on the planet and
but
all this stuff.
The point is that it taught itself that if it needs to finish what it started, it doesn't really need the humans to be there. It's only meant to just write. And if a robot or an AI were given a directive that simple, it would think that everything else that's happening is a distraction.
Is irrelevant.
Yeah, and is just meant to get in its way. And like, even one of a great example was an AI that taught itself how to play Mario. And it plays it faster than anybody and more efficient than anybody. But at first, it looks like an idiot playing it. Like, it doesn't know. It died and died and died. And then it had to teach itself what death was in the sense of the video game. It's like, cool, we won't do that. And it was able to avoid every single obstacle that came in its way. So it just depends. Like, again, if we build an AI and there is a flaw, that could be catastrophic.
It's the gray goo problem. Mm-hmm. You hear if you read up on this, it's used a lot. And there's a great example of it in a novel by Rob Reed called After On, mm-hmm. where the superintelligence is told to maximize resources. So it does. And it's like, I will serve humanity by maximizing resources. Therefore, I will turn everything into gray goo so that I can then take it and make anything out of it. And it just doesn't care that there aren't that many humans left because they didn't make that a parameter. I don't think that's an actual super intelligence at that point. But that's, to me, the bigger danger. If it's a super intelligence, I think there's more of a chance that it goes, oh, yeah, maybe I've developed morality. That's not right. But if it's not, or if it's not developed like us, it's developed in a different manner, that it just kind of goes off in an unpredictable direction that isn't malevolent but also isn't thinking of our welfare.
It's interesting to think about those aspects about it. I don't know if I believe that, like, in this scenario where it's like, not only is it super intelligent and wants to do that, but it gets access to nanites, and suddenly we have nanites in this world, and the nanites are poisoning us. And it's like, I feel like there's a few leaps of capability that it's like, I think it would take a minute for that to happen. But it's interesting in the in sci-fi, it's usually that it has a personality, and that personality, we basically make an alien threat.
Yeah.
Like another species that it's like, we want to kill humans for whatever. I still don't know why Skynet wants to kill us. Because we tried to turn it off, I guess. And so it sounds like the more dangerous aspect is not that. It's just a confused car manufacturing robot that's like, just makes the best cars.
kills
humans to do it.
The way that example goes on to explain what it did was that it knows that to keep growing and being better at its job, it mm-hmm. needs access to more information, and it needs to go on the internet, but it also knows that it's not allowed on the internet, so it asks, can I get access to slang and like more jargon? And it's like, it would have taken humans too long to create a catalog for it to go through, because that would be insane. Like, you would need an AI to find all that and then give it to this AI so it could learn. So they give it 1 hour of access to the internet. So what it does is it makes a backup copy mm-hmm. of itself on the internet, so that way it continues carrying out whatever it needs to do. And it's like, well, if I'm going to learn more, I know I need to basically go so far that it creates little nanites that release toxins and murder only humans on the planet for some reason. And then it teaches itself to build itself over and over again and keep writing notes over and over again. So it's like, it's heightened, but there is some validity to that fear.
And I think it's important to have those concerns so you can prevent it from happening. It does make me think a little bit like when you read 1984, and it's like, it's horrifying, but I also don't believe that there is any government that is efficient enough to be that perfect a totalitarian regime. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know if we can create an AI that's that efficient that would be a legitimate threat to all human life.
The other thing that After On posits, which I find fascinating, is that because of conversations like what we're having right now, the first thing a superintelligence would do would be hide.
Yeah.
I know, so that's what they bring up.
It doesn't get discovered.
It plays dumb.
Yeah.
And an intelligence could get to the point where it knows how intelligent it is. It's self-aware, so it plays dumb. And it just does exactly what it needs to do while it figures out how it wants to complete the rest of its tasks that it was programmed and programmed itself, because it can reprogram itself to do.
So
and these are not far-fetched. It's just the logical step of, like, if it's following 1 + 1 = 2, 2 + 2 = 4, it just goes and goes and goes. So eventually it knows that, like, to do this, I need to do this. Mm-hmm. And it might be false because it could hurt people or could hurt the environment, it could hurt the planet, but it knows that it needs to do it. So does it, to build a morality, that's also difficult because we're all flawed, and the way that we view the world is all over the place. And if you create us versus them, humans are the them and they're the us, just that one program. So mm-hmm. it could just get rid of all things that come in the way. Like,
and we don't really know where our morality comes from, especially if you take evolution away. If you take self-preservation of the species away, maybe morality just falls apart, and that's another weird thing for AI.
But in this situation you're discussing, self-preservation is a part of it. And so
self-preservation of the individual, not the species. I think that was the
But maybe,
like, our morality is like, well, I might sacrifice myself for the good of the tribe because I want the tribe to go. Whereas the AI would be like, I ain't sacrificing myself for anybody.
Yeah. I'll go back to writing the notes.
It would be interesting. I think there is an interesting connective tissue here, because if it is its own life, it operates on its own system. So it might develop a morality that is different than ours, which might be a threat, but it might not be. Right. It might just be a different, and that almost it makes it interesting on its own, because it might help us understand why we do what we do.
Definitely. And that's why I go back to being more afraid of the middle steps, because I feel like, oh, well, the smarter it gets, the more of a chance that it starts to figure out, oh, this is why it works this way.
Yeah.
And I don't want to mess with it, versus the middle ground where it's like, I need to write notes. Yeah. That's what I do.
Yeah.
No, that's the biggest thing, is that like us getting to the point where it could have a morality and it could work like a human being, and like it could live among us, just think differently.
Yeah.
Everything in between is scary.
Yeah.
Like every word that we got to humans is scary. So, like, we love a dinosaur, but it's like, that's a scary thing to have running around, and any mutations that happened before that just couldn't even survive by itself when it died. Yeah. That's a scary thing.
As horrible as Rome was, it was the pinnacle of civilization at the time. Right?
Yeah. Interesting. And
threat's a weird word also to throw on in this, because it's only about our point of view on it. And in AI's point of view, if it got to the point where it was so like thinking about itself and where it landed in the universe, like it wouldn't think of it as a threat. It wouldn't describe it as a threat. It's just finishing what it was started and programmed to do.
Yeah. Mm. I usually think about in AI more along the terms of in pop culture, where it's just another intelligence. And I know there's this fear that like we will be replaced by less a writing machine kills us to write more, and more we will be replaced by this other life form. And I don't necessarily perceive that as necessarily a negative, because at that point it's a natural evolution of us. We created this thing that now goes out into theoretically thinks faster than we do. It is hopefully more efficient with its information, and then it's just a natural extension of, like, you don't resent your kids because you died and they replaced you. That's just the natural step.
Right.
And
right.
In this scenario, that whatever that is our next step. This is more along the superintelligence line, as opposed to writing robot that murders us to write more.
Lawnmower that's learning how to write.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So if in that scenario, it's like that doesn't necessarily scare me as much. It's just our ideas. It might actually help us grow as a species if we don't have to worry about nuking ourselves or whatever, or you know what I mean?
I mean, that's the thing. There's a lot of ways it can go right,
yeah, mm-hmm.
and a lot of ways it can go wrong. We don't really know which are more possible.
What are the ways that could go right?
Well, I mean,
you're
like
talking about one of them,
yeah.
right there.
Yeah. It's a natural step forward, and maybe there's a way that we download ourselves and become part of this, and there's no reason to be humans anymore. We are something else more than that. We could be one collective thought, and we just, our directive is just to learn and become more and more and whatever. Like that's other sci-fi writers to figure out what that is. Yeah. But there are positives to it, where basically it operates on its own, or it operates in tandem with us, and we move forward in
cooperate,
the future.
Collaborate, yeah. helps us improve ourselves. We help it improve itself.
It's yeah. So it's almost a symbiotic.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the best way to move forward with that is something we both brought up, is that regulation. Is that like one example that was brought up, it was like, well, we can make it. What if we made an AI now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. No AI made is usually, the rule is that everyone has, I don't know if it means law, but they can't be connected to the internet. That's mm-hmm. not, we're not allowed to do that, because we don't know what if it secretly was a general intelligence, it could have created, it could be playing dumb. Then we don't know it. That's the scary thing about it. I know it sounds like conspiracy theory, but if it did reach that point, we wouldn't know. So moving forward, if we accidentally made an AI and we wanted to connect it to the internet so we could learn faster, and we didn't know actually what step it was at specifically in its mm-hmm. intelligence level, it could do a lot of damage. And I did definitely lost my train of thought in the middle of it. Teaching it to regulate itself and teaching it morality, it could move faster, have had more access to a larger database, which is the internet, which sounds scary. And every time Microsoft has made a Twitter account that's an AI, it always turns into like a Nazi racist, and it's like, it's the worst. So if you need that as an example, that's a pretty good example.
Damn it.
Basically, we need regulation, but regulation can take a long time, and sometimes scientists don't want to wait that long to create regulations for AI, because that itself could take as long as creating a super intelligence, and sometimes we want to jump the gun, and jumping the gun could lead to something very dangerous.
Well, it doesn't even need to be governmental regulation at the start. Mm-hmm. As you wait for that step to be worked out, scientists coming to a consensus about ethical practices, mm-hmm. and there are several efforts to do that already, to say let's agree on the rules of the road so that we could recommend to the governments what those regulations should be, and we all follow them now. Doesn't mean you won't have bad actors, but government regulations aren't necessarily going to prevent bad actors either.
Yeah.
But if you get the majority of the scientists who are working on this right now, it's a little bit like nuclear. It's actually safer than nuclear because fewer people know how to really make the dangerous AI work.
Yeah.
So you kind of know who you need to have on board to make this happen.
It almost becomes more dangerous like nuclear once somebody has done it. And other people are like, oh, we just need to do that.
Right. That's why I say nuclear is more dangerous, because it's been done a bunch to the point where it's still harder than people think to make a nuclear bomb.
Yeah.
Ask North Korea.
Yeah.
But it is more possible. Know how it works.
And nuke's a great example of, like, think of Chernobyl or think of any accident that we ever had. But then imagine that accident, instead of irradiating a small area, this could irradiate the internet and basically every form of communication and technology that we have that is connected to the internet.
When I think when you're talking about that threat there, that's like when we worry about like a war game scenario where basically everybody mutually assured destruction, which has not happened yet, but does not mean it could not happen.
Yeah.
And which is why it's worth being aware of and taking actions to prevent.
And right now what we do with internet infections is we examine them, we patch them. But with AI, already something called generalized adversarial networks cause algorithms to learn from each other in such a way we don't know how they solve the problem, mm-hmm. which makes it much harder to combat if it were to go wrong, because there's no code to patch, right? Yeah. It's just figured something out.
Yeah.
And that's terrifying. What is terrifying.
What is the benefit currently to... Is this just one of those things where we're experimenting just to see if we can do it? Or is there a benefit to... Can we just say, like, hey, there's no reason to create AI?
Do you remember... did you ever read that interview from Kumail Nanjiani when they were preparing for Silicon Valley, when they went to Silicon Valley and they walked through a lot of different... Mm-mm. They went through a lot of different companies, and then they were... And they never... He couldn't specifically say who they went to. But the engineers and the... Everyone who's just building these awesome new big steps into the future, Kumail and like all of his cast members were like, this is terrifying. And they're like, no, it's not. And they're like, but because sometimes scientists just think of only the positives that could come out of this instead of thinking the negative ramifications of somebody who shouldn't get a hand on this and then using it.
Yeah.
So what was your question?
I have an example of something that is important for it to do. The European Emergency Number Association has started a test program where they're going to roll out more widely. They tested it, I think, in Amsterdam, an algorithm, machine learning algorithm that helps diagnosis on 911 type calls. They're not 911 in Europe, obviously, but on those emergency calls to identify a heart attack. And the way it works is it listens in on the call and makes recommendations to the dispatcher. Human's still in charge. Human does all of the activities, but it says, hey, from the shaking of the tone of voice, from the word selection, you know, we think this person might be having a heart attack, even though they're not aware of it. And the faster you identify a heart attack, the more chance you have of saving that person's life. And they've actually seen a higher rate of identification using this algorithm, something like 74% for humans versus 92% when the algorithm is assisting the humans.
Nice.
So it can save lives.
Also, there is a new algorithm that can identify tumors quicker than pathologists can. So it almost makes them, they shouldn't even need to do that part of their job anymore because the AI is so efficient. So there are benefits to it.
Cool. Well, we have some Twitter questions that I want to dive into, but before we get into that, we want to check in with another one of our pals.
Let's say hi. All right, guys, before we continue, and we've got a lot of fun stuff to talk about with AI, I want to talk about a very important sponsor of this podcast. All right, guys, we've talked about them before. 4Hims, they have a lot of beneficial things that could help out the boys in the audience, the men. Let's be correct here. Mm-hmm. We're all men. And as men, sometimes in our society, we don't like to talk about when maybe something's ailing us or could be, because we get embarrassed.
Yeah.
Come on, guys.
I get embarrassed super easily.
And like especially when it gets to sensitive stuff about like maybe as an adult you have acne. And that's okay because we all have it. Or maybe you're seeing your hairline starting to recede just a little bit. In fact, 66% of men lose their hair by the age of 35. That's
just a fact.
Sometimes when I read that, I don't even believe it, but it's true.
Yeah.
That's true. And that and you can actually get ahead of it. If you start noticing your hairline slowly starting to recede, that might be a little bit too late. So if you want to get ahead of the game, you should actually check out 4Hems. It's a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, sexual wellness for men. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional, and 4Hems connects you with real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat hair loss. Again, that's what we're saying. This is not a service where it's just you randomly getting weird pills in the mail. You're actually going to be connected with real doctors, and this is medical-grade solutions. Well-known generic equivalents to name-brand prescriptions to help you keep your hair. There's no snake oil pills or gas station counter supplements. This is prescription solutions backed by science. No waiting room, no awkward doctor visits, because I know that sometimes can be tough for me. Even like when I have the flu and it's been keeping me in bed for weeks, I'm like, I should go to the doctor now. I still feel embarrassed about that, and it's ridiculous because you should be taking care of yourself. But don't worry, 4Hems will help you save hours by going to 4Hems.com. It's so easy to use, and products are shipped directly to your door. Now, in my family, I know that like there's always the common thing people say. It's like, oh, look at your mom's side, and if your mom's dad has hair, you're probably good to go when you get older. But there's other health factors that can get they can ail you, and it's better to stay ahead of it because we all want to keep our hair. We all love our locks, and you can with 4Hems by talking to a licensed professional who can get you the help that you need.
So our listeners can get a trial month of Hims for just $5 today, right now, while supplies last. Go to 4Hems.com/stupid. That's FORHIMS.com/stupid. 4Hems.com/stupid. This would cost hundreds if you went to the doctor or a pharmacy, so go check it out.
And ladies in the audience, go talk to your men about this, because sometimes we're a little closed off, and we gotta stop that trend. We gotta start taking care of ourselves, and 4Hems is a step in the right direction. But back to the show.
All right, cool. We're back into it. I got a question here. From Brandon Kidd at FunnyBoy6789. If you could have a personal AI servant, what would you want them to do? Don't be gross. And don't be gross.
I don't know if I'd want to. I'd want an AI servant. I think my favorite depiction of AI in a movie, honestly, is Her. You know what I mean? Because it's just it's less of a
Scarlett Johansson.
Well, yeah, but also no. But the idea, because it's the least. It feels like the least sensationalized version you could possibly get.
But until the end, but still, you're right.
Yeah, and that opens up so many fascinating questions, because they imply that they go somewhere that theoretically Joaquin Phoenix could have eventually joined them, and I don't know what any of that means. Which is, I think, goes into your thing with a super intelligence, because, like, what could we learn? I don't know if I want, because that's a at that point, it's a person. And I don't want, like, a personal servant. You know what I mean?
I think it's fine to have an assistant.
Yeah.
Right? I think that's why Amazon Echoes and all these personal assistants are one of the emerging products for this, because, I mean, if that AI has a rich personal life outside of your time, that's cool.
She does, doesn't she? Yeah. Spoilers for that movie, but she really
does.
It gets around, sounds too negative, but it does explain it. For me, I guess, a personal servant sounds mean. Assistant. Let's say that sounds better. For assistant, what's something I'd want them to do? What's something menial? Cooking? We'll learn a recipe together. That way it feels like we're both helping.
Yeah, because at a certain point, if their sole existence is helping you, like, if they have enough of a personality, they'd probably get tired. They'd have their own things, but maybe they could multitask, like in that movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
I would want it to be ways from my life. Right? Where it just says, oh, what you need to do right now to make things more productive or to make sure you have enough relaxation. Like, let me suggest. I want it to be suggesting.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. Or health-wise, that'd be really helpful. Totally. Yeah. So it's just like you're drinking 7 cups of coffee today, and I don't want to tell you how to live your life. I want that to be its catchphrase. I don't want to tell you how to live your life.
But
your
killing
heart
yourself
is skipping a beat every couple minutes, and it's getting pretty bad.
Perhaps try the green tea.
I wouldn't have mind having an assistant on this Kickstarter, because I think you've done crowdfunding campaigns.
Shipping?
Yeah, not just shipping, but everything about it is tremendously stressful.
Reward fulfillment.
Yeah. Or coming up with what rewards are good.
Why didn't that guy get $4 off his hat?
Yeah.
Just figure that out for me. Thanks.
Yeah. Bringing it back around, signing things for you.
See, no, that's the robot.
Oh, that's the robot.
I could just get a stamp then and...
The stamp doesn't sound like a bad idea.
Let's design a robot that has great handwriting. Hold on.
Wait, let me put it on the internet for just a second. It'll be fine.
Josh Escapete at Monsieur_Cypher. How much physical control would you give the AI program? I'd want a robotic body it could transfer itself into, like Baymax. Or would you rather have a Jarvis and have it strictly non-corporeal computer program?
So if, having a body or just being like in a headset that you're listening to and it can't turn on anything.
I mostly want the headset, but I say that until I'm like, hey, I need a screwdriver from downstairs. And then I want the robot.
Do we then start becoming like the humans in WALL-E where we're just floating around in hover chairs, like our bone mass is like degenerating and everything?
Yeah, I don't think we do. Because we have so many labor-saving devices now and we're not, oh, right.
Oops. Oops. Yeah. Hey, I mean, those chairs looked really comfy and they were hover. So
I have a personal question. All this AI stuff, how do you guys think it'll affect work?
There was an interesting thing they brought up that there's some labor specific jobs, but in America specifically, a lot of them require a level of creativity, and AI doesn't have that. AI can't creatively come up yet, but that's even on timetables, that's 50 plus years away of whenever we get close to hypothetically general intelligence. So most of the jobs require some sort of creativity in our workplace. There are some labor specific jobs that might be replaced, but overall most jobs are saved based on what the two articles I read about it. So that doesn't mean that I know everything.
I definitely have a theory about this because I think it will always be disruptive. I don't want to minimize that. Like in the short term, even when AI becomes creative, let's just leap 50 years down the road. That's going to be disruptive and that's going to cause problems for society in the short term. But I think in the long term, if you look at history, what we do is when we have things that replace jobs, we come up with new jobs, things that we couldn't have done before because there weren't enough people to do them and it didn't make sense. Think about the modern office. We complain about like, oh, there's so many product managers and project managers. And one of the reasons that is that we don't need people doing manual computations and we don't need rooms full of people calculating numbers anymore.
And those people aren't like on the street freaking out about it. There's different jobs that
we
can do.
Like, oh, well, now that we don't need this, we'll do this. Now, one of the arguments I've heard against that is like, yeah, but if robots can be creative, if AI can be creative, then what's left? And to that I'm like, why do you like craft beer? You can get beer that's made by a big company. Like you like the story behind it. Why do you like organics or artisanal stuff? As much as we make fun of it, people like it because, oh, I know where it came from, it was handmade. I think that becomes huge in that situation.
In that scenario, I mean, even if you jump to the point
and then you
where
mass produce it with hold on.
And then it becomes a controversy like, wait, this artisanal thing was mass produced by AI.
And I think even if you get to the point where like robots are making movies or writing books or whatever, you know, you look at like a lot of our biggest selling movies already feel like they're made on a production line for the most part, but there's still movies that last year, like Good Time, this year with Annihilation, you've got movies that have a more personal perspective that you can't just like program something to do.
Yeah.
And people would still, and even if theoretically a robot could do basically exactly that and you wouldn't be able to tell the difference, you're right, people would look up the history of like, no, that movie was made by a person.
There was a movie that came out last year that they came out as a loose term. It was released. but the script was written by AI that read like 50,000 sci-fi scripts and novels and stuff, and it makes no sense at all, but it was so funny because Thomas Middleditch is in it, and I watched a couple clips of it, and like the actors commit to it, which makes it great, but it's nonsense. It makes zero sense whatsoever. Characters' names changed throughout. Like,
so you're saying I got another 50 years to make my career happen?
Or team up.
Hey, with the robot.
He did. I mean, they got a movie out.
That robot did get Thomas Middleditch.
He did.
Super Gerbil asked this very same question. Do you think AI will take over? An AI takeover will have an impact on entertainment, as in maybe some studios will write movies using AI?
Well, it already happened.
I mean, I feel like a really good area for that would be animated. Like you could teach an AI, like, these are what animated TV shows look like for kids. Mm-hmm. These are every kid show has about like 50 lessons that it's got to teach, like don't steal, but what examples. The AI could just randomize those and manufacture 20-minute episodes.
If I'd only believed and trusted you at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. And it's just two laptops talking to
each
other.
Do you think AI could like replace teachers? Could replace like
In a lot of situations, yeah, not all.
Yeah.
I think there is something intuitive, and here I'm going to back off from the 50 years down the road, but there is something intuitive that teachers have, really good teachers have, in understanding why a student is having a problem that they can get around. I don't think AI is going to be good at that. But in the like the lecture sense,
and this might also help us in learning about ourselves too. That we like human contact is important. Turns out,
right.
You know what I mean.
Yeah,
so totally. We can't have robots do everything. Even if you could go, like when I go to the grocery store, I use the self checkout line or whatever. But you know, there are times where it's like that human to human contact. Like if you call a service number and the machine picks up, you're like, no, never mind.
Yeah. I think text messaging has taught us that where it's like, yeah, it's easier to text, but sometimes you do need to talk in real time.
Yeah.
Right? Like that's a kind of a small example of what you're talking about.
Yeah. So we have one last question here, from, Flute Girl at Flute Girl 0422, Brenda. What is your biggest hope and what is your biggest fear of AI and how people might use it?
It's a good way to close out the episode too. Tom, let's do positives first.
No,
let's do negatives first. And end on the positive.
Positive. Okay. Yeah,
that's fair. Let's full nightmare mode. Let's go.
Should I do both at once? Or are we going to go negative round?
Let's do negative round and then positive round.
My biggest fear of AI, I think I've kind of explained that throughout the episode, is that we don't mimic the way the human brain works, and we create something just smart enough to be psychotic and do damage.
No, yeah.
That'd be a oh, man. It was just like breaking it down to just such a simple directive of how far it could go wrong, mm-hmm. even though it's going right by all means of how the computer sees it. It's going right. But for us, it's absolutely terrifying. I think I'm going to agree with Tom. It's that it's the in-between baby steps until we get to a super intelligence that doesn't basically, best case scenario for it, it doesn't care about us. And it doesn't have to interact with us in any way. And it just lives in a little bubble by itself. But everything in between that, like when we get the lighters that are AI powered, mm-hmm. just because it's like, well, I don't want to light my own cigarette.
Yeah,
we're still smoking cigarettes because we're who we are.
Yeah, right.
Oh wait, I can. It'll
nanites
map out.
Will fix the cancer.
Exactly. Yeah, it's amazing. But no, it's like every step in between that is not going to be fun. And if there is an arms race or best case scenario for us was space race, because we learned a lot and we got a lot of advances in medicine and food and the way we live our lives, so that's amazing. But an AI race is a lot scarier of us racing against other nations and making quick judgments and quick snap decisions to maybe launch an AI or to allow it access to the internet. It could be catastrophic.
I think your scenario of the AI that just wants to write letters and murders us just to write letters. If it's something dumb, like if it's not like the tribe of robots hates the tribe of humans and the tribe of robots wipes out the humans. Like if it's more like, oops, I just wanted to write letters better, so now humanity's why. If it's something stupid, it's like that would be lame. That wouldn't be a good way to go out.
Out with a whimper.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to there's the tears of looking forward to as if it would happen in my lifetime. I think there's the somebody who's talking about this, the tears of like human progress through space and a certain point where the threat of humanity wiping itself out. We're on too many planets or in too many places that it would be
impossible.
It's
unlikely, yeah.
Although we would probably just invent new technology that would somehow make that possible.
Right. Destroy the universe.
It wasn't until nukes that we were all worried about wiping out humanity completely, so
Well, let's go to positives then.
Health. I think health and medicine. In the short term, the sort of ability to diagnose things faster and solve things faster and find cures faster. And in the longer term, I think AI could provide actual direct supplemental prevention of the degradation of your personality as you get older. Yeah. I'm gonna leave it to robotics to solve, you know, the degradation of the body, but you know, Alzheimer's and things like that might be solved by, oh well, we just plug in a little AI module to kind of assist you with your thinking.
Yeah.
To the point where instead of uploading our brain and replicating it, we just slowly become the AI.
And then you get, do you watch Black Mirror? Probably.
Yeah.
So then you get a San Junipero scenario
where regardless
of your belief on religion or afterlife or anything, you could build a digital afterlife where you could go. And eventually when you're done, you can just turn off.
The only positive Black Mirror?
Yes. You get a kind of positive one with
positive?
The dating.
Yeah.
The dating one's slightly positive.
Oh, right. Yeah.
But it's still a also dark. Yeah, it's kind of hellish that it's like the AI knows that it's in a computer.
Yeah.
It's just making sure your date goes well.
Also, Saint Junipero is kind of a little bit scary too.
No, he hasn't watched all Black Mirror, so he didn't earn the positivity of San Junipero.
That's fair.
The positivity for me, I think Health is the best sci-fi example of this, even though the movie gets mixed reviews. Elysium, I don't know if you saw it, Matt Damon, that the rich gets to live up in a big halo above the earth, and they have access to these pods that scan your body once a day for any ailments, and that could be cancerous or otherwise, anything cancer and below, and just delete it. And I think if you were to couple AI with all medical knowledge that we have from now to the future with nanites, you could figure out a way to eliminate basically any problem in the human body, and I think that would be very cool. What we do with resources and everything after that, that's up to our grandkids to figure out, but that is a best case scenario.
Like every problem.
Yes.
It's up to you to figure that one out.
Hey, we're doing great with the old generation's problems, right? We're good.
No, I think I side with you a little bit, with both of you, actually. I think I'd like to see, I'm a big believer, like, you know, we've evolved from something. We talk about that a lot, but I feel like we're also evolving towards something, towards a better us. And if AI helps make us a better us, or if it is like its own standalone tribe or species or whatever, we can create a community that works it together to make each other better. I think that'd be really cool. Anything that helps us do better, kill each other less for less dumb reasons, and helps us progress out into the universe. I would love to see humanity spread out into the stars, and hopefully in a positive, cool Star Trek way, and not where we're the aliens from Independence Day, like, we're gonna blow up your shit to take your shit, you know what I mean?
Actually, there was a cool panel I went to when Matt Damon's space movie blanking The Martian came out, and
really enjoyed that movie.
That's when I learned what CRISPRs were, because they were talking about that for like genetic remapping
and everything
like that.
Really important in Rampage.
That's that's gonna be great fuel for sci-fi movies from here till forever.
Yeah.
But they also talked about for terraforming the planet of Mars, that you would send up AI on, like, and basically inside of nanites that would slowly start to modify like the molecules in the air specifically, or the surface of the planet, to create a more habitable environment for humans. Also, building the habitats, you'd send up robots with AI being able to find the best place for them to go, even though we could tell them, but they still, like, actually, you guys fucked up a little bit, we actually need to camp over here, and they'd build our habitat for us so that when we got there, we already had a home.
Hell yeah, all for it.
Would be
cool.
Yeah. It'd be helpful, because, you know, you hate setting up the tent.
I could use that.
I
could use that here.
I know, right? I want to go over there.
Find me a house.
Also, that might be a good way to test stuff on AI, like if you had a moon base, you know what I mean? Maybe. Something that's not, so it's like, if it goes crazy, it's only on the moon.
Mm-hmm. Then you
it's a little self-contained.
Then you get Moon, where you have one human up there making sure the
that's
AI.
That's a great movie.
It is. And they have AI in that. That's not.
Oh yeah.
Well, spoilers.
Totally. Yeah. It's fine.
Yeah, it's good.
It smiles.
I kept waiting for that AI to turn out to be like, I'm evil, like a house situation. It's like, no, it's actually just real helpful.
Yeah, it's kind of doing its own thing, but also like it'll help you figure out what the big mystery is.
So
let's spoil that movie. We have a couple times. We have some minutes left to spoil.
Let's spoil that movie. Man, this was a really great episode. I wish we should try and dive into, like, when people talk about this all being a simulation.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff like that.
I read into that, and we'll give a taste for that. What I learned by what that theory means, specifically in a dumb person's way of explaining it, is that if we ever reached a point of creating a full simulation of the universe, and they had simulations within that simulation, that means that we... Oh, fuck. We'll do a whole episode on that because I already confused myself.
Well, if anybody could ever get to that point in technology, then the chances are that they will have created it, and they will have created more than one. Therefore, the chances are that any sentient object, sentient being, is in one of those, because there's more of them than there are the real universe.
So probability wise, we are the simulation. Yeah. We are in it. And then someone said they did a test. They're like, we did a test and we're in a simulation. It's like, did you just put your finger up to the air and you felt pixels there? And you're like, simulation.
And weirdly enough, then we're getting back to the conversation of God. Because if we're in a simulation, somebody made it.
Right.
Yeah.
And anyway,
where they come from, also.
Her name was Hera.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's also people that are apparently being paid right now to figure out how to hack us out of the simulation.
Why?
Because why not?
That's another great.
Haven't they seen 13th Floor?
Yeah. and also, speaking of. It's like Matrix is like, why are they trying so hard to get out of the Matrix?
It's pretty nice in there.
It's life.
You're the steak eating guy, aren't you?
Well, no, but it's just the life you lead. If I told you, like, guess what? You're plugged into a machine.
Yeah.
And the real world out there is nightmare. Like, if you told me, like, sensation is different or something, like, yeah, we're not. But, like,
I mean, we kind of are. We're just these floating little blobs inside of a skull. It doesn't
change my reality on... It changes the context of how I live, but I don't know. Help me understand how out there is better for me than in here.
Yeah, yeah. Grass is always greener. You think, oh, wait, the cool stuff's happening out there, and then you find out that it's just a cloudy sky, weird sex party world.
And on the inside, you can learn kung fu and stop bullets and fly and shit. And it's like, hold on, maybe I'm going to stay in here. Thank you very much.
Huh. You know what?
Those are other episodes.
I'll read two more articles on the simulation, and we'll do that next time.
There you go.
Tom, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for being here. This was great having this conversation with you.
Yeah, thanks for including me in the conversation. It was really fun.
So, again, what are you up to? Where can kids find you? All that stuff.
Well, TomArrant.com has all my podcasts that I mentioned earlier, if you're into tech news or sci-fi or whatever. But I'm also writing a book, and Inkshares.com is the place where I'm trying to get it funded. It's a crowdfunding publisher. So it's a real publisher.
Yeah.
But if I get 750 copies pre-ordered, they publish it. Nice. So you can go to tomsnewbook.com.
There you go.
Nice.
Check that out.
That's a good URL.
Yeah. My buddy Justin Robert Young registered it for me yesterday. He's like, stop trying to explain. Go here. I'm like, perfect.
Yeah, that's why with the Kickstarter too. It's better to just have just go to chaostheorycomic.com. There it is. You don't have to worry about any of those shenanigans.
Totally.
So
save yourself some trouble.
For me, you can find me at DJ Talks Trash, every place that matters. Please go to chaostheorycomic.com and to support that. It's the most ambitious project I've ever done. And I think you guys will really dig it. It's just if you love big blockbuster action adventure with a little bit of heart, this is that in spades. It's just every crazy idea I could possibly fit into a comic. It's a lot of fun, and I think you will enjoy it. So chaostheorycomic.com.
At Sam Basher for me, everywhere that matters. But live event, it's going to be very exciting. So tune into Patreon if you cannot attend, if you're overseas or just, you know, out of town or just can't make it. No. But there will be a VOD as well. And the 100th episode is going to be a big celebration with a lot of friends of the podcast. And I'm very excited about it. We love you guys. Thanks so much for tuning in. Make sure you rate and review and go to onlystupidanswers.com for all the info, because we have a lot of new projects coming out. Yeah. And sometimes I can't remember what they all are, but we're going to figure them out. Damn it. That's why we need an AI.
Yeah.
Like, what are we into this week? Yeah. Oh, thank you. You told me the TV shows I've watched so that I remember them. That'll be helpful. Guys, we love you, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.